Logos Church family, we welcome you tonight to our Wednesday night Bible study as we continue our series in unveiling the Holy Spirit. And we've seen the Holy Spirit revealed through the symbol of wind. We have seen him revealed through the symbol of fire. We've seen him revealed through the symbol of anointing with the oil. And last week we looked at the water and the wine. And this week we continue to look at the Holy Spirit and how he comes to reveal to us. And the symbol we are looking at this week is the seal of the Holy Spirit. And we are so grateful to be able to just explore the Word of God. And I just want to open up as we consider tonight our main text. We're going to be looking at several different scriptures, but the main text we're going to read from is Ephesians 1, verses 11 to 14. And it says this, "In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory." If we could just pause there, and we want to just open up in a word of prayer and commit tonight's Bible study to God's glory. And so, Father God, we just come to you right now. And Lord, I just commit every listening ear to you, Lord Jesus. I pray that you would open up their ears and give them understanding into the great truths of your word. I pray that you would give them wisdom, that as they read your word, it would unfold before them. Father God, I ask that right now, your Holy Spirit will go into the homes, that will go into the office, that will go into the rooms, wherever your people are listening to your word. I pray that Holy Spirit, you would manifest your presence right there, right now, and that you would unveil the truth to us that you are the seal of our salvation. And so we commit everything to you. Lord, I surrender my thoughts, my tongue to you, and I pray that you would speak through me and that you would be glorified. In your mighty name I pray. Amen. And so we're looking at the seal of the Holy Spirit. What is a seal when you think of it? Some of you might think of, if you're into canning, you might think of when you have to prepare your canning goods and then you put them in a pot of boiling water. You wait for that popping sound. When the popping sound occurs, you know that your jarred good has been sealed. You know that there's no potential of anything in the contents from spilling out as long as that seal has been firmly secured. As well, if you've ever bought anything from the store, if you've bought over-the-counter medication or any goods, you're looking to see that the seal has not been broken. If you've purchased something where the seal is broken and you get home, immediately there's a concern that perhaps it's been tampered with. Well, when we look at this Ephesians verse and we see verse 13, it says, "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed." We have been sealed in Christ. And so the sealing represents ownership. It represents protection. It represents a validation of your relationship with God. So we're going to look at different things as we break this down. Well, if you just look at the word seal, it's a noun, and it means this: to form a fastening, or also as a guarantee. But then if we looked at seal as a verb, it's the action of fastening something. It's the action of guaranteeing something. And so tonight, as we look at some scriptures, we're going to see the seal as an action, and we're going to see the seal as a noun. And So biblically speaking, when we consider sealing in biblical times, they would take a piece of paper and it would be rolled up and it would be fastened with a string of sort and perhaps a clay on it were the signet ring or even some form of clay or wax of sorts. And the king would put his signet on it, and that would indicate that that document, that paper that was going to be delivered, had the seal of the authority, the seal of the king on it. And so we're going to look at the different aspects of this seal, and we want to understand there are outward expressions in the New Testament that we've come to know that indicates a sealing. For instance, when you've been baptized, you were baptized, God sealed you how? By giving you his name. You were baptized in the waters of baptism and you became a child of God. The old man was buried and the new man was raised up. Another symbol of the sealing is the Lord's Supper. We have that spiritual seal in the sacraments of the bread and the wine, symbolizing his very presence when we are remembering the Lord's death, burial and resurrection each time we take communion. But these are the sealings of the baptism, the sealing of the sacraments. But in our day-to-day, the sealing that we receive from God is the sealing of when we believe in him as Lord and Savior. Then the Holy Spirit comes to take up residence within us, and he becomes that seal that has solidified that decision that we have made. And so we see God's presence demonstrated, we see God's power demonstrated, but in all of this, we see most of all, we see that he has given himself, his Holy Spirit, to us as a seal that, you know what, now you are my possession, now you are my child. So we go back to the scripture that we read. In him we have obtained an inheritance. What is that inheritance? The inheritance of having been predestined to his purpose, the purpose in him who works all things according to his counsel, right? And so that we who were in the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed. We will visit this verse 13 and 14 over and over tonight until we come to understand that sealing effect that took place when you believed in Christ as your Savior. So you were marked in him with a seal. You might not see the seal, others might not see the seal, but to God, he sees the Holy Spirit sealing upon you. Why? Because when you believed in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit came to dwell within you, the very seal was the indwelling of the Holy Spirit upon your life. And so what is that seal? It's not a what, it's a who. The seal is the Holy Spirit. He is our seal. He is the one who authenticates that decision that we made to follow Christ. He is the one who authenticates that this is a child of God. This is a daughter of the King. This is a son of the King. And so he is our seal. He seals us into the family of God. He seals us as a child of God. He comes to dwell within us, and he provides us with that inner assurance that we belong to God. We are his children. And so for me, as a believer in Jesus, I now have the assurance, because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, I am a child of God. I am not a child of my old works. I'm not represented by the old man that I once was, but I'm now a child of God. And that Holy Spirit within me will work out the old man of the flesh, and he will begin to do his work within me until Jesus is glorified in everything that I do and in everything that I say. Some other verses that we want to consider about the sealing. Romans 8, verses 15 and 16. And it says this: for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. You see, when the Holy Spirit comes to indwell inside of you on that day of salvation, right away there's that witness within your heart. I am a child of God. And right away there, you recognize God as your Father. This isn't something that just comes on your own intellect, but it's the Spirit that makes that revelation to you. And from that point, you're able to say, oh, Heavenly Father, I come to you. Or Father God, I pray. What has caused you to make that shift of going, dear God, into Father God? That Holy Spirit that is dwelling within you, that Holy Spirit that came to seal your appointment as a child of God, has caused you to understand he is your Heavenly Father and you have been adopted into him. Galatians 4 verses 4 to 6 says this, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as what? Sons. And because you are sons, God sent his spirit of his son into our hearts, crying what? Abba, Father. So just as it was said in Romans 8, it is also confirmed here in Galatians that as we are adopted into that sonship, into that relationship, because of the Holy Spirit being within us, we cry out, Abba, Father. Or as some would say, Daddy or Papa God. 2 Corinthians 1:22 says this, and who has also put his seal on us and given us his spirit in our hearts as what? A guarantee. I know that I'm a daughter of the king. You know that you are a son of God, a son of the king. You know that you are a child of God. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is giving you that guarantee that when you believe in Jesus, when you believe that he came to die for your sins so that you may have salvation and the free gift of eternal life, then at that point of believing, that Holy Spirit that came to indwell within you guaranteed, gave you that understanding, yes, I am a child of God. So the Holy Spirit authenticates what? The reality of your relationship with God. And he makes us more and more like Jesus. And so now, as others are watching you, they are seeing you become more and more like Jesus. You're not the same man you used to be. You're not the same woman you used to be. Something is different about you. What is that different mark? That different mark is the Holy Spirit working inside of you, authenticating you as his presence dwelling in you, working out that old man, working out that old nature that wanted to do things his way, that nature that wanted to direct her life her way. But now, because the Holy Spirit is dwelling within you, leading you, guiding you, he is authenticating what he is doing. He is authenticating his very presence within you by people seeing you change. And what is that change? You're becoming more and more like Jesus. You're becoming more and more to look like the one who died for you. That old man is not having rulership over your countenance, but instead your countenance glows with what? The presence of the Christ that is within you. And so God authenticates our relationship, and he wants to protect what belongs to him. You know, some farmers, when they buy their cattle, what will they do? They will take a seal. They will take a letter, perhaps. It indicates their name, the name of their farm, and they will indent that into the cattle so that if anybody were to see that cattle, they would know that cattle belongs to that farmer. If that cattle were to fall stray or get out of the pasture for some reason, everybody knows that cattle by the seal belongs to the farmer up the road. If somebody were to attempt to steal that cattle, they would not be successful, because everywhere that cow would go, it would mark what? It would have the marking of the owner on it. Wherever you and I go, we represent Christ. We represent who is God. He authenticates us wherever we go, and He is about protecting us. So at times you might be in the wrong place, and you might get some odd looks or some strange glances, but it's because there is a mark upon you, and the mark is the very brightness of Christ in that area of darkness, and it is revealing who owns you, who dwells within you. Do you have that revelation within you tonight that you are a child of the King? Do you know that when you believed in Jesus, that you were marked with a seal, that He imprinted His image right there upon your heart? Do you know that? Do you have that embedded within you, that you know, I'm a child of God? Ephesians 1:14 again says what? Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until what? We acquire the possession of it to the praise and glory. So to be sealed with the Holy Spirit is a gracious gift of God, whereby He demonstrates again the authenticity of the believer's relationship with Him and His authority, His ownership, and His commitment. So His authority is within you. He is the one who has sealed you. His ownership, you belong to Him. You have been adopted into His family. And His commitment as an owner, He is committed to your protection, to your care, to your provision. This comes with the seal of God that is upon your life. Imagine that for a moment. Just pause there for a moment and consider all that comes with that seal that's been put upon you as a child of God. You have a ruler authority that is operating over your life at all times. And so you can go to Him and say, what am I to do? How am I to handle this situation? What is the proper decision that I am to make? You have one who owns you. And if He owns you, He is going to take care of you. Some of you men that have cars and you favor that car, it means so much to you. You're careful to bring it to the car wash. You're careful to make sure the engine is just humming so right. Why? Because you are the owner of the car. You want that car to last you a long time. Oh, maybe it's a cheap scenario, a cheap example, but you get the understanding that when we own something, we take care of it. We want to show and demonstrate in how we take care of it, that it belongs to us. God takes care of you. You can know that in His sealing, He is watching over you, and He is committed to this. We can look at some examples. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 4. And it says this, and the Lord said to him, pass through the city, through Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and who groan over all the abominations that are committed in it. And to the others he said in my hearing, pass through the city after him and strike your eye shall not spare, and you shall show no pity. Killed old men outright, young men and maidens, little children and women, but touch no one who is marked. And begin at my sanctuary. And so they began with the elders and who were before the house. So what was happening here? God said, don't touch those who have my mark upon them. And in other words, those that have been sealed, those who bear my seal, don't touch them. That's the protection of Father God over your life. That is what comes with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You have a protection sign over you. Revelation 7 verse 3 says, do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. God places a seal on his people to identify them, that's my child, to protect them from any form of wrath. What wrath are we talking about? The wrath of eternal doom, okay? Look at Abraham. How did Abraham become marked? How did Abraham become sealed as a child of God? Well, he was circumcised. Romans speaks of this in Romans 4 and 11. And it says this, he received the sign of circumcision as what? As a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. The purpose was to make him the father of all who believed without being circumcised, so that righteousness would be counted to them also. So that righteousness would be counted to them also. Who is them? Us. So if we put all of this together, what we've said up to this very point, we see ownership. We see protection. We see the validation of our relationship with God, right? We see that this is the package that comes with the Holy Spirit. So as a means of guaranteeing his promise to us, and to all of us who have received Jesus Christ, we are sealed in him. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's how it's read in the scripture in verse 13, with the Holy Spirit of promise. Why? Because Jesus said, unless I go, the Holy Spirit cannot come. So he promised that he wouldn't leave them abandoned, but he promised that the Holy Spirit would come. And so now when Paul references the Holy Spirit, he speaks to him as the Holy Spirit of promise, or the promised Holy Spirit. Romans 8 and 9 says this, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. So as soon as that Spirit of God comes to dwell in you, as soon as the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in you upon the confession, Jesus, I recognize that you are my Lord. I ask that you would be my Savior, that you would forgive me of my sins. As soon as you make that confession and the Holy Spirit comes, he dwells in you. But then Paul went on to say this in the latter part of that same verse, of verse 9. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. So there are those that are not sealed by God. There are those in this world that do not have the Spirit of Christ. And so they don't have that seal upon them. They don't have that authentication that they are a child of God. They don't have that ownership that they belong to God. They don't have the promise of the Holy Spirit as their seal. Why? Because the Spirit of Christ, they do not have the Spirit of Christ, and therefore they do not belong to him. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 says this, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You see, there again, the Holy Spirit has come to take up residence within you. You're not your own. Now it's not about doing what you want to do. Now it's not just living and enjoying your life the way you want to live it and enjoy it. But now you have a partnership. Now you have a Holy Spirit that is dwelling within you that you can start each day. Well, Holy Spirit, this is a brand new day and I give it to you. And throughout that day, you can go as he leads you, as he guides you. Because he is dwelling within you. He has taken up residence. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And so again, to solidify it until it gets ingrained within us, when you become a Christian, when you become a child of God, the Holy Spirit takes up residence within you. Life in Jesus becomes different. Living for Jesus becomes different now. Why? Because the Holy Spirit begins to manifest his work within you. The Holy Spirit begins to take off those rough edges. The Holy Spirit begins to work within you. You know, those old areas, perhaps those old painful areas, he begins to work out his healing. Perhaps those old natures, that old part of you that would get angry. He begins to work that out. And so the Holy Spirit is showing his presence within your life as he works out the old. And God is securing who he is within you. The Holy Spirit then is what? He's our helper. You can go to him every day. You can ask him, Holy Spirit, I need your help. Holy Spirit, give me wisdom. He's your advocate. He's the one who's going to go to Jesus, who's going to go to the Father. He protects you. He encourages us when you're down and you just say, I don't understand why I'm feeling so down today. You can go, Holy Spirit, I just need your encouragement. I need your enforcement of just to lift my spirits. And the Holy Spirit can come and encourage you. As you open up the word, he can bring that right scripture that will be the lifter of your pain, the lifter of your discouragement. Romans 8, verses 16 and 17 says this: the Spirit himself bears witness with what? Our spirit, that we are children of God. And if children, then what? Heirs. And if heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer within him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Yeah, there does come a suffering. The sealing that Paul is speaking about here, this mark that is upon us, is like if you were to take a document, and if that authority figure were to seal that document, in some churches, when a couple is married, then the church will take their seal and they will endorse that seal on that marriage, recognition of marriage that is given to the bride and groom. And why? It's an official document from the church that within that church facility, this bride and groom were married by the leader of that church. It's an official document. And so Paul is saying, we are sealed in Christ. It's like when you have a letter that you are going to send, or the government has a letter that is going to be sent to you, and it comes in a sealed envelope. You are sealed in Christ with what? The Holy Spirit of promise. So the seal of God's Spirit in your belief, within you, shows us four different things. And it shows us security, it shows us again the authenticity, it shows us ownership, and it shows us authority. So let's look at each of these. We've mentioned them. Let's look at them individually. So when the king would place his seal on something in biblical times, no one could go against the king's seal. Okay, and so we saw this demonstrated when Daniel was put into the lion's den. And when he was put into the lion's den, the King Darius, along with his nobles, he placed the seals of the stone over the entrance of the den. Why? Because he did not want anything to change in regards to Daniel being in that den. He didn't want anything to go against the fact that Daniel was put into the lion's den. We see this in Daniel chapter 6, verse 17. And it says this: and a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Any person that would break the seal of the king or disturb that seal would suffer or forfeit some sort of consequence. Something would happen to them. We also saw this happen in the New Testament when Jesus was laid within the tomb. What were the Jewish officials worried? That then the disciples would say, well, you know, the rumor was that Jesus said he would rise on the third day. And now what if the disciples go and steal his body? And if they steal his body, then people will believe what he had declared. We need to do something. And so we see in Matthew chapter 27, verses 62 to 66. The next day, that is after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember how that impostor said while he was still alive, 'After 3 days, I will rise.' Therefore, order the tomb be made secure until the third day, least his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people he's risen from the dead. And the last fraud will be worse than the first. Pilate said to them, you have a guard of soldiers? Go, make it secure as you can. So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing it with a stone and setting a guard. So here we see the king, Pilate, had issued a decree. Nothing could go against what he had issued. And what was done? The tomb in which Jesus was laid in was sealed with a stone. The den in which Daniel was put in was sealed with the king's signet, with the seal of the nobles. Why? So that nothing would hinder what was inside, so that nothing would demonstrate, that nothing would go against their authority. So the Holy Spirit secures each believer, marking him with his own firm seal. You are secured. Why? Because God has put his seal upon you. How did he put his seal upon you? His seal is a who. His who is the Holy Spirit. And how did you receive that Holy Spirit? How did you receive that seal? When you believed in Jesus, his son, as your Lord and Savior, that Holy Spirit came to dwell within you. The next part, authenticity. When King Ahab tried to unsuccessfully get the land of Naboth or trade his vineyard, what happened? Let's look at that account in 1 Kings chapter 21, verses 6 to 16. It says, and he said to her, because I spoke to Naboth, the Jezreelite, and said to him, give me your vineyard for money, or else if it please you, I will give you another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give you my vineyard. And Jezebel, his wife, said to him, do you now govern Israel? Arise and eat bread and let your heart be cheerful. I will give you the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite. And so she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them, what? With his seal. And she sent the letters to the elders and the leaders who lived in Naboth's city. And she wrote in the letters, proclaim a fast, said Naboth, as the head of the people, and set two worthless men opposite him, and let them bring a charge against him, saying, you have cursed God. We jump down to verse 13, the last part, and it says, and the worthless men brought a charge against Naboth in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth cursed God and the king. And so they took him outside of the city and stoned him to death with stones. And then they sent Jezebel, saying, Naboth has been stoned and he is dead. Here, this land now that she wanted, that she coveted, she received. Why? Because through dishonest means, she put a seal on the decree that was going forth. Despite the deceptions, despite everything that was contained in the letters, Jezebel sent them, and they were authentically from the authority, from the king. Why? Because they were sent with his approval. They were sent marked with his seal, marked with his signet ring. So the seal was his signature. It represented his authority. It represented his power. Even though what she was doing was wrong, it represented the authority and the power that was operating. And so what happened in the end? The vineyard that she wanted, she obtained. When God gives us his Holy Spirit, mark it down as a note. When God gives us his Holy Spirit, it's as if he stamps us with a seal that says, this person belongs to me. This person is an authentic citizen of my divine kingdom. They are a member of my divine family. When God sealed you with his Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit came to dwell within you, you became a citizen of God's kingdom. You became a member of his divine family. Why? Because that seal represented his authority and his power. Ownership. What do we see with ownership? When Jerusalem was under siege by Nebuchadnezzar and Jeremiah was under arrest by King Zedekiah for prophesying against the king and the nation, the Lord gave special instructions to his prophet Jeremiah. And Jeremiah was told to buy some land in Anatoth, for which he had redemption rights. And the contract was agreed. And if we go to it in Jeremiah 32, the contract was agreed on and the payment was made in the court palace. And what happens in Jeremiah 32 verse 10? It says this: I signed the deed, sealed it, got witnesses, weighed the money on the scales. Then I took the sealed deed of purchase containing the terms and conditions and open the copy. Now, if we went down and we jumped forward to verses 14, I didn't give these verses to Joshua, but if we jump forward to verse 14, it says this: thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these deeds, both this sealed deed of purchase and this open deed, and put them in an earthen ware vessel that they may last for a long time. When you have been sealed by God, it is a lasting seal. He doesn't give it to you part-time. He comes and he seals that relationship with him. This is my child. They belong to my divine kingdom. So the Holy Spirit seals believers. He marks them as God's divine possessions. They belong to God from the moment that you entered into that relationship with Jesus. From that moment you believed in his son as your Lord and Savior, he marked you as his divine possession. And it says this: the Spirit seal declares the transaction of salvation as divinely official and final, just as we read in verse 14, take this sealed deed of purchase and this open deed and put them in an earthen vessel that they may last for a long time. It is done. It is marked to last. It's official and it's final. The final marking of the seal, the authority. So even after Haman had made that decree, you remember back in January when we looked at the book of, or February when we looked at the book of Esther, if we were to go back to Esther chapter 8 verses 8 to 12, it says this: but you may write as you please with regard to the Jews in the name of the king, and what? Seal it with the king's ring, for an edict written in the name of the king, and seal it with the king's ring. A seal with the king's ring cannot be revoked. The king's scribes were summoned at that time in the third month, which is the month of Sivan, in the 23rd day. And an edict was written according to all that Mordecai had commanded concerning the Jews to the satraps and the governors and the officials of the provinces from India to Ethiopia, 127 provinces, to each province in its own script and to each people in its own language, and also to the Jews in their script and their language. And he wrote in the name of King Ahasuerus and sealed it, what? With the king's signet ring. What did that seal of the king's signet ring mean? Well, if you go back to verse 8, it means to seal it with the king's ring means that it cannot be revoked. It cannot be revoked, saying that the king allowed the Jews who were in every city to gather and defend their lives, to destroy, to kill, and to annihilate any armed force of any people or the province that might attack them. So in both cases, the absolute authority, the decree, was represented in what? The king's seal. We saw the king's seal in Jezebel's case, where she wanted the land and she went about it in a wrong way. And what happened? The king's seal allowed her to acquire the land. It caused the people to obey what was written in the seal. and again with Jeremiah, as he acquired the land, as the money was exchanged, the ownership of that land, well, how was it given to him? It was marked by a sealed document. And now in the case of Haman, in the case in Esther, what happened? It was marked. It wasn't that Haman's original edict could be revoked, but now a new edict was written, and then that edict was written by Mordecai. It went out to the 127 provinces. And why was it able to override the first edict? Was because the king's seal was upon it. When the king's seal is upon you, it has authority, it has ownership, it offers security, and it offers authority. So those who possess that sealed document, those who possess that sealed decree, have been delegated authority. So when Christians are sealed in the Holy Spirit, we're delegated authority to proclaim the gospel of Jesus, to teach the gospel of Jesus, to minister the gospel to others around us, to defend God's word, to defend his gospel. Why? Because his authority is on us. His authority has been granted to us. Why? Because we contain that document that has been sealed. So that authority is there. So how are we sealed? Let's just review this as we begin to cap it up. When we admit we're sinners, when we admit that I'm sinful, Lord, I have this sinful nature within me. I'm prone to sin. God, you know the lifestyle that I've lived. And Jesus, I recognize that you came to give me a new life. I recognize that you came to forgive me of that life that I once lived. And so when we make that confession, the Holy Spirit comes. Why? Because Jesus is no longer here in the flesh as he was with his disciples. But that promise of the Holy Spirit, that when Jesus would go to his Father, he would send the Comforter. He would send the promise of his Holy Spirit. And he would come and dwell within us. John Piper, a famous preacher, he says this: God sends the Holy Spirit as a preserving seal to lock in our faith, as an authenticating seal to validate our sonship. As soon as we make that declaration to God, it has been sealed within us. And now that seal authenticates you're a child of God. You belong to God. You are marked as his very own. Back to Ephesians 1, verses 13 and 14. In him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, how could you believe in Jesus as your Savior? How could you even recognize that you had a sinful life? How could you even recognize that you weren't even living a life that was well-pleasing? It was because you heard the truth. And when you heard the truth, the gospel of salvation, and you believed, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of your inheritance. So what does the Holy Spirit protect us from? Well, the Holy Spirit protects us from the enemy's attack. He protects us from Satan. We're protected from when the enemy wants to come and barge in on us, right? And consider Job. Job was righteous. The word of God says that there was none in the land as righteous as Job. And yet, the enemy was roaming around, hovering around. And God said to him, what are you doing? He says, oh, I'm just going here and there, you know. And God, we've talked about this. God said, have you considered my servant Job? You see, right there, Job was put right in the light of the enemy's attack. And so the enemy will come and he will attack you. And there will be times where you feel like you're falling. There'll be times where you're going to feel badly bruised up and beaten by the enemy. There's going to be times where trauma is going to affect your life. I heard a testimony this weekend of a young girl who just recently became baptized. She decided she'd grown up in a Christian home. She had known the truth of Jesus, but as a teenager, things got in the way in her walk with the Lord, and she began to have this falling. She began to have this bruising of the world upon her, and she had what we call post-traumatic stress syndrome. She had trauma that had affected her life from different angles and different things that had taken place. But she decided she was going to return to God. She was going to give her life over to Him. And she surrendered herself to God. And what happened? He sealed her in His promise. She was out in the woods, and as she was just crying out to God, and just spending time with Him, and just crying and crying, a stranger walked by. And he seen her, and she noticed the stranger, and he looked at her, and he says, "Are you okay?" And God was doing a work within her heart. And he asked her, and he asked her again, three times he asked her, "Are you okay?" And finally, she says to him, "I'm okay." What happened in that moment when she was able to say, "I'm okay"? It was because in that moment, God authenticated within her that assurance she was a daughter of God. Yes, you went through trauma, my daughter. Yes, you went through bruising. Yes, you went through trials and tribulations. Yes, the enemy tried to hone in on you. Yes, he tried to oppress you. But my seal is upon you, and my seal authenticates you are my daughter. And so there she made a declaration before God, before man. I'm choosing to follow Jesus Christ as my Savior in the waters of baptism. And she was baptized. So sometimes, like Job, we might be mishandled. We might be handed over to persecution. But Jesus, was he not persecuted? Did he not even be put to death? What did Jesus say to us in Matthew 24, verse 9? He says, "You will be hated by all nations because of me." You will be hated by all nations. Believing in Jesus doesn't seal us against being attacked by the enemy. It doesn't seal us against going through trials and tribulations. It doesn't seal us against having trauma in our lives, but it does seal you as to who owns you. Who do you belong to? Who is your ultimate protector? You're going to feel fearful at times. That's natural. But as a Christian, you know who your hope is in. You know your hope is in Christ. It's like that person jumping out of the plane with a parachute, right? They're free falling at a moment. They're free falling, and they see the earth beneath them. And they know at a specific time they can pull that ripcord. And as soon as they pull that ripcord, the parachute is going to open up around them, and they will safely land on the earth. That ripcord, if you want to say, is our hope that we have in Christ. We know that in times of trouble, we know that in times of fear, we can pull on that ripcord and we say, "God, I'm just being overwhelmed by fear right now. Circumstances that are going on and around me, they are just consuming me. And I need to know that I have my hope in you, that my assurance is in you." And that is how we can be secured in Christ. Yes, we're going to be bruised. Yes, we're going to be bloody. And yes, we're going to go through bad times, but we can pull that ripcord. We can pull that security of knowing that Christ has redeemed us, that we are secured in Him. We are marked by Him. And what happens as a result of that? Well, we begin to reap things that we didn't harm. We begin to eat of trees that we didn't even plant. We begin to eat of gardens that we didn't even grow. Deuteronomy 6 verses 10 to 12 says it this way: "And when the Lord your God brings you into the land that He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you with great good with great and good cities that you did not build, and houses full of all good things that you did not fill, and cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant. And when you eat and are full, then take care lest you forget the Lord, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You see, Christ has redeemed you from that place of slavery. Don't ever forget the old man he took you from and that new man that he is working within you. He's bringing out that new man. Why? He's bringing out that new man. How? Through his Holy Spirit, who is working within you to authenticate, yes, this is a child of God. How can we be a child of God, declaring that we're a child of God, and still going about living the way we used to live, doing the things that we used to do? Did we fully surrender? Did we ever give ourselves? Did we ever believe in Jesus and the work that he had done on the cross? Did we ever believe in his authority, in his ownership over us? If we did, and he truly owns us, then why are we still doing those things? Why are we living our life as we used to live? Why have we not allowed the Holy Spirit to fully work out that Christ-like character, that Christ-like spirit that is within us? Who are you sealed in? Are you sealed in your own works? That every time you do something bad, you feel like you have to go out and do something good to make it right? No, instead, if you sin, you can go to the Father and you confess your sin, and he who is faithful will forgive you of your sin. And the Holy Spirit continues to work on you and continues to do that job that is in you. So it's not your works that saves you. Doesn't matter how much good that you do. It's not your works. It's the Holy Spirit working within you. It's the confession that you needed a Savior. Remember our key text, verse 13 of Ephesians 1, having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. So by sealing us in person, God claims us and he gives us claim on him, that the Holy Spirit can take up residence within us, that the Holy Spirit can consume us. What happened to the disciples when they were told to go and to tarry? The Holy Spirit came upon them and he filled them with a boldness that they were able to go out and to declare to others around that Jesus Christ is Lord. They were able to go from house to house and the church of Jesus Christ grew. Why? Because they were embodied with the boldness of God. How did that embodiment come? Because the Holy Spirit came upon them in power in that upper room as they tarried in Jerusalem, awaiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit. It says you were sealed, you were purchased, there's an ownership established. Ephesians 1 verse 7 says that in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins, according to the riches of his grace. We have redemption of what has paid for it? The redemption that was paid was by his blood. And by his blood, we have forgiveness of sins. We have his grace that's been given to us. And so here we have this incredible mystery that Paul is letting the Ephesians know, that God not only defeats every rebellious area within us, but that we can have forgiveness for those areas of rebellion, and that he can come and he will take up residence within us. God planned from the very beginning. He chose from the very beginning that we would be his. Ephesians 1 verse 4 says this, even as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. You see, the fall of Adam came in, and when Adam's sin came in and entered, when Adam rebelled against what God had said, everything of this garden is yours, but of that tree, don't touch it. When Adam rebelled, when Adam fell into sin, that caused there to be a separation. But God always wanted, he established before the foundations of the earth, that we would have relationship with him. And so that is why Jesus came, to restore that relationship with him, to restore that place of right standing with him. John 14, verse 18 says, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. God didn't decide that because of Adam's sin, that now we would be left as orphans, that now we would be left with this separation between us and him. No, Jesus came. He came to bridge that so that we would no longer be orphans, so that we, through believing in him, would be marked with a seal. John 16, verse 7 says this, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper, who is that Helper? The Holy Spirit will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. That is where the bridge of restoration came between the Father and us, so that we could have once again that relationship that he intended to have with us before the foundations of the earth. He intended that we would be sealed in him, that he would be our owner, that he would protect us, that he would authenticate that we belong to him, that he would be that authority over us, and that he would be that authority operating through us as we declare his truth to others, as we walk in his truth, as we minister his gospel, as we take a stand for his truth, and as we take a stand for his gospel. Why? Because in Ephesians 5, verse 18, it says that we will be filled with his spirit. And in Ephesians 1, 23, it says, him who fills all in all. Who is him who fills all in all? None other than the Holy Spirit. And in Ephesians 3, 19, it says that you would be filled with the fullness of God. What is that fullness of God? In that fullness of God is the Holy Spirit that comes to dwell within us. That Holy Spirit represents the Father, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit represents the Trinity. But within us is that Spirit of the Holy One, the Promised One, that is connecting us to God in the seal of his promise. 2 Timothy 2:19 says this, but God's firm foundation stands bearing this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. So when we call upon him, Jesus Christ is Lord, as you declare that in your homes tonight, in your offices, as you declare that as you're listening, you have declared the name of Jesus, and that makes you known as a child of God, and he marks his seal upon you. Why? Because John 10, 27 says, my sheep know my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. When we hear the voice of Jesus saying, come, all who believe in me, all who believe in me will have forgiveness of sins. All those that declare my name. Why? When Jesus bids us to come, we are a sheep. We know his voice and we follow after him. God's people are sealed with what? The living God. The seal is our seal. It keeps us personally. It doesn't just keep us as in ball and chain, but it keeps us personally because the Holy Spirit has a personal relationship with us. The Holy Spirit wishes to dialogue with us. He is, as Jesus says, our comforter, our helper, our advocate. He is there to lead us. He is there to give us wisdom when we need it. We can call upon him and he will lead us in the way that we are to go. And with that Holy Spirit comes a seal. I am a child of God. Who are you sealed in tonight? You see, the Holy Spirit, we've seen him demonstrated in so many ways throughout these past weeks. We've seen him demonstrated in the big, loud wind that we hear at night, maybe in a winter storm. We've seen him demonstrated in the wind when we see the trees bending. We've seen him demonstrated in the fire. We've seen him demonstrated in the water. We feel the pressure of the water. If you were to go into the ocean and how the water can quickly overtake you, we know that there are times when we feel the very presence of the Holy Spirit, in that he could overtake us and we are just enveloped by him. And tonight we see that we are sealed. We are not just seeing him in the demonstrations of nature and the likes of such as the water and the wine, but we are seeing him in the demonstration of our very own life, coming, dwelling within us, and not leaving us the same, because we're to be that representation to the world, that Jesus Christ is real. Is the Lord real to you tonight? Do you believe him as your Lord and Savior? Have you grown day by day in your understanding of him? He has put a seal over you. You are a child of God. You are owned by him. You are protected by him. His authority is operating over your life. The enemy may come and oppress you. He may attack you. You may feel beaten up. There are days you may feel fearful, but you can call upon the name of the Lord. You can call upon the Holy Spirit, and he will be your ripcord, and he will bring you to that safe place. Remember, you are marked with a seal. Song of Solomon says this: set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm, for love is the strongest death. Jealousy is as fierce as a grave. It flashes, are flashes of fire, the very flame of the Lord. Set me as a seal upon your heart. Who owns you tonight? What consumes you tonight? What troubles you tonight? If the Holy Spirit is dwelling within you and the seal of God is upon you, don't let the other things consume you. Let him be that seal over your heart. Let him be that seal that is offering that protection from the enemy coming in and bringing that trauma, bringing that wounding, like this young girl that surrendered her life to Christ, that followed him in the waters of baptism. When she was in the forest that day, when she was crying out to God, he assured her that she belonged to him. He sent a stranger. Perhaps that stranger was an angel. We don't know. Maybe it was just a random man. The Lord will choose to use what he will choose to use. But as a result of talking with this individual, she came away knowing that she knew that God had done a work in her life. Are you sealed by God tonight? Do you know that you know that you are a child of God? You can make that commitment to him tonight. And you could choose to walk under his seal, under his security, under his authenticity, under his authority, and under his ownership. Why? Because that is what he is asking of you. Set me as a seal upon your heart. Let's close in prayer. Father God, we thank you for the seal of the Holy Spirit. We thank you that, Lord, that day when we knew that we needed a Savior, when we knew that we needed to be forgiven of our sins, that we called out to you. We called out, Jesus, I believe in you. And Lord, that day when we made that declaration with our lips, you came and you sealed us. Tonight, Father God, for the ones that are doubting, God, are you even out there? For the ones that are doubting their salvation, God, is it really real? Is it even worth believing in you? Lord, I pray that through the confession of their mouth, even through their own questioning, that you would reveal yourself to them and that they would know that they know they are a child of God. Their citizenship is in heaven and they belong to you. Father God, tonight, right now, to whoever is listening, confirm yourself to them, and may they set their relationship with you right. Set a seal upon their heart. Let them know deep within themselves. And if that's you tonight, you can just pray out, Father God, I realize that I need you. I realize that I need forgiveness of sins. Holy Spirit, would you come and dwell inside of me? Jesus, would you forgive me of my sins? And would you begin to transform me? In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Well, we thank you for joining us tonight, and we thank you for the opportunity to come and bring God's word. Join us next week as we continue the Holy Spirit study and we wrap up the symbols of the Holy Spirit, and then get ready, because the weeks following, we're going to see this Holy Spirit in a very personal way. We're looking at symbols right now, but it gets better. So keep tuning in with us and join us tomorrow morning as Pastor continues his studies in Daniel, and for our morning devotions at 8 a.m. on Facebook Live. Right here, if you're joining on YouTube, you'd have to switch over and do a search of Facebook, and then you'll be able to join Pastor Dino. But we thank you. God bless you. We'll be here Sunday morning, Facebook Live and YouTube. Until then, may the peace of God rule and reign over you, and may he be the seal upon your heart. God bless you all.